Welcome to Charity Talks. I'm Brooke Danewski, and today I spoke with David Coker, the president of the Fisher House Foundation. The foundation builds comfort homes where military and veteran families can stay free of charge while a loved one is in the hospital, and are located in military and VA medical centers around the world. The foundation also operates the Hero Miles program to bring family members to the bedside of injured service members, as well as the Hotels for Heroes program, which allows family members to stay at hotels near medical centers without charge. In addition, the foundation manages a grant program that supports other charities and scholarship funds for military children, spouses, and children of fallen and disabled veterans. Overall, the foundation has helped hundreds of thousands of people, many of whom are going through the toughest times of their lives. So I hope that you enjoy learning about the foundation's great work. Today I'm speaking with David Coker, the president of the Fisher House Foundation. David, thank you for speaking with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So to start, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to the Fisher House Foundation?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, it's a God thing. I come from a military family, and after college, I moved around quite a bit, went to high school over in Germany, went to Trinity University in San Antonio on a ROTC scholarship, which meant I needed to pay back some service. I stayed in the Army for 15 years, and I was a healthcare administrator. And it was through that role that I first learned of Fisher House, because one came to the hospital that I worked at. And the more I learned about it, the more I fell in love with it. And I had made the decision to retire. And after I had put in my retirement papers, I learned that there was an opportunity to work for the foundation, that they were at that time creating a national foundation. And I always thought I would continue to work in healthcare. But as it turned out, this opportunity has been the opportunity of a lifetime. And I've been with Fisher House now, gosh, I am in my 30th year, wow. Almost halfway done.
It's so interesting. You never really know what direction you're going to go in. And it's so cool to see you ended up here. And so I was just wondering, you know, for anyone who might not fully be aware of what the foundation does, what is the foundation's mission?
Well, at the heart of it is our network of Fisher Houses. And if you think about what Ronald McDonald Houses do, provide a safe home away from home, a comfortable environment for families who have children going through a medical crisis. We do the same thing, but we focus on military and VA hospitals. And so we see everything from difficult pregnancies and neonatal ICU visits, to those dealing with cancer and issues at the other end of the spectrum. And then, of course, with the dangerous aspect of the military, even in training, people get hurt and have difficulties. But when you go to war, it's a special responsibility. We have learned a lot from the people who've graced our houses. And as we see things, where there's an unmet need, we work to develop programs to help be a part of the solution. Our program was founded by a man named Zach Fisher, and he was a real estate developer in New York who had a great career. And as he got to the later stages of his life, he just wanted to get back, give back. And what started out as simply building houses has evolved into, we also provide airline travel. We provide lodging when there's a need other than Fisher House in the same vein. We try to maintain a purity of purpose and not stray too far. We don't want to compete. We want to collaborate. And so through these other programs, we've worked with 51 other military nonprofits to help provide the necessary support to the people we're privileged to serve.
Yeah, and you mentioned airline travel, so I was wondering, could you explain a little bit more about the foundation's Hero Miles program?
Well, that's a program that we started, gosh, shortly after the Afghanistan war started. And what would happen, the soldiers and Marines and sailors were over there for 6 months, and as the deployment got longer, the military said, you know what, we probably need to send them back for some R&R, rest and recreation, and let them go home for 2 weeks, and then we can bring them back and they can finish their deployment. Well, as that happened, when you're traveling halfway around the world, you don't have the luxury of being able to make a reservation for airline travel. And so they would fly them all back to the airport in Baltimore, Maryland. And they'd land and they'd be in the airport and they'd say, okay, fly yourself back home, but be here in 2 weeks. Well, as that program got some, gosh, criticism because of the difficulty in buying last minute airline travel, how expensive just being able to get there because a lot of flights are already full. They started a program called Hero Miles for DoD to provide that travel, and people would donate hundreds of millions of miles. Well, Congress saw that and said, you know what, maybe we ought to pay to get them all the way home. And they did that, and they had this bank of miles. And so we worked with DoD to get access to those miles, and we used them to reunite families at their loved one's bedside, as well as to get the veterans and service members to programs that are going to help them on their journey of recovery.
Yeah.
People have donated hundreds, well, gosh, we've used over 1 billion miles in providing airline tickets and have provided over 85,000 round trips. And it's, the neat part of that is, sometimes when you're supposed to go home, it was, gosh, it was probably about 5:30 one evening, and my phone was ringing and I was halfway out the door, and you're wondering, okay, do I pretend I didn't hear it, or do I go back and answer? And I went back and answered it, and it turned out it was a chaplain from Fort Campbell, and he had called and he said, I have a wife here whose husband has been injured. He's being flown into Walter Reed, and she would like to be there when he comes in to support him. Can you help? And I said, absolutely we can. And I will stay here until she calls, give her my number. Well, she called and I was able to book the flight and give her the comfort that she was going to be able to come in and support her husband. And at the end of the conversation, she says, forgive me, sir, I just want to know what part of the army you're in. And I explained, well, I'm not part of the army. We're a nonprofit that appreciates your husband's service and your sacrifice by his side, and we just want to help. And she said, well, I've been on the phone since 10 this morning, and you're the first person who hasn't given me another phone number. And so when you can be the solution, it's a pretty sweet spot to be in.
No, it's clear the foundation does so many different interesting things. Another thing I thought was really cool was the scholarships for military kids and spouses. So, can you talk a little bit more about what that aspect of the organization is like?
Yeah. Well, one of the big challenges is we tend to be a best kept secret. And one of the challenges is we had a Fisher House at every major military medical center. But when you talk about that, you're talking about very few of the actual military installations. And so how do you get the word out to people across the system around the world? And we heard the director of the Defense Commissary Agency. And for those who don't know what a commissary is, it's the grocery store that's on base that everybody shops at. And you typically have better prices than the grocery stores off base. And it's one of the tremendous benefits of military service. In any event, the director said, you know what, we'd really like to do something in support of the quality of life. And, you know, specifically, I think it'd be great to have a scholarship program. Well, we went to him after his presentation and said, tell you what, we will help you do that. And we will pick up all the administrative costs so that every dollar donated goes out as a dollar in scholarship. And our goal was to provide at least one scholarship to every community. And the program has always far surpassed that goal. We give out 500 scholarships a year now in the Scholarships for Military Children program. We thought about, well, okay, we're taking care of the sons and daughters and the children of those who served. What about the spouses? Because so many spouses get married young, they haven't quite finished college. And if you're moving around, college is a difficult proposition. And we took a look, and rather than create another scholarship program, we partnered with the National Military Family Association that already had one established. And we have become the largest funder of scholarships for their program. And if you want to change the trajectory of a family and their income potential and their quality of life, help the spouse get the education they need to get a better job. And you know, one phrase I often use is, it's a good day to be in the blessing business. And it is when you can go and help somebody just build a better life. You think you've done something good, but in the end, you just feel so much better yourself.
I'm sure it's clear when you do one good deed, whether it be a scholarship or anything really, it does have such a spiraling effect. So I could see, you know, you're affecting more than the individual you're directly helping, which is really amazing.
It's a pretty cool thing, I've got to admit.
There's so many different ways that the foundation is supporting veterans and their families. So I'm just curious if there's any other ways you'd say the foundation's helped to build just a support system and community for these families beyond housing itself.
Yeah, there are many different things. Number one, to bring awareness to the challenges they face. One of the things I'm most proud of, right now we've got 96 Fisher houses around the world, two in Germany, one in the UK, and the rest are throughout the United States. But one of the things that's so fantastic is they become a catalyst for community support. You know, the when we build a house in Boston, you know, it serves the people being treated at that VA medical center, but it has also given people the opportunity to show their appreciation, their love and respect for those who serve. And whether it be volunteering, whether it be coming into the house to fix a meal, make a holiday special. You know, it relieves a burden for the families, but it also engenders community support for those. And it gives them that feeling of, you know, I did something good today. And in Boston in particular, we have friends groups who are independent 501c3s that also work towards the same purpose. And in Boston, we partner with them on a unique program where they work with Mass General and Spalding and many of the hospitals downtown. And we take care of supporting veterans in active duty who go to those hospitals and invest. The program itself is probably about $1.2 million a year in alleviating the burden of those families. And it's great to be able to say, you know what, we can relieve the financial burden, But the real payoff is the feeling they get knowing that others care. You know, how often have you had a bad day and you're sort of in a fog, but when somebody notices and says, hey, can I help? You know, you're not alone. And the challenges that were so daunting a few minutes ago, you can see a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's a special thing.
Yeah, something I find so impressive about the foundation is that it's served more than 455,000 families since its inception. So could you discuss further the impact the foundation has had so far and really how it's been able to reach such an impressive scale?
Well, it's a great example of a public-private partnership. What we do is we come in, we build a house, we gift it to the Department of the Army, Navy, Air Force, or Department of Veterans Affairs. In return for the gift, they agree they will operate and maintain the house in perpetuity and use it for the purpose of helping the families of being cared for in their facilities. We are always going and blessing a new community. And if you think about it, the people who stay in a house, and I'll continue to use Boston as the example, if they stay at the Boston House, their loyalty is to that house. They don't know who Fisher House Foundation is. They don't. It was the Boston Fisher House that blessed them. And so if they can make a donation, they're going to give it to that house. And it's just amazing to see the growth. When I joined the foundation, there were 14 houses, and to be at 96 now, and the houses we're building are three times the size of the original house. And what sets us apart is it really is a home away from home. When Zachary and Elizabeth started the program, he was very insistent that these people, the people who walk through the doors of a Fisher House, are his guests, and they'll be kept to his standard. And so they're somewhat upscale. And the goal is when somebody walks through the door of a Fisher House, they know that there are others who appreciate their service, who honor that service, and want to help them in their time of need. And hopefully they inhale twice, because the challenges they're facing are gonna knock them down a peg or two, but they'll know we've got support, that they've got our support from the very beginning.
And something else I was curious about was if there's any particular growth areas that the foundation is planning on focusing or expanding in the next few years.
Well, right now we've got another 20 Fisher houses that are needed. When we first started going into the VA healthcare system, we asked the secretary, well, you know, where would you need a house? And he came back with a list of 70 different places. And we had to go back and said, okay, we're good. We're not that good. What are your top 10? And in that way, we knew we were building at the places with the highest need. And when we finished those 10, we asked for another 10, and they gave us 15. Well, we have another 20 places with recognized needs. Places like Puerto Rico. And if you think about Puerto Rico, that house has to be designed to meet and withstand 175-mile-an-hour winds. It has to have cisterns for water and a generator for electricity, because when the storms come, the electricity doesn't always come back right away. And so there are continue to be some unique challenges. And we continue to learn from the people who've graced our houses. Initially, the houses didn't have elevators. They were a two-story house with stairs, and we had two accessible suites. But we thought, well, the patients in the hospital, you know, these are healthy people. We don't have to worry about that. But healthcare has changed, and you don't stay in the hospital as long as you used to, but you may need continued therapy. So we've gone to primarily building a 16-suite house where every room is wheelchair accessible, and we have an elevator to give the manager and the house the flexibility to meet the needs of its community. So that is one way we've grown. We always try to find those things for which there isn't a solution yet. We learned early on with the injuries that came back from the war. Many times the doctors would treat the symptoms and would give them the right cocktail of medicines to alleviate their pain and to help them heal a bit. But there was a point where people would go from, well, they were just kind of existing. They didn't have pain, but they weren't back to living yet. And we learned about the power of adaptive and arts and music and the need to let people reconnect with those things so that they can start living again. Sports is a great one. We work with the Warrior Games as well as the Invictus Game nationally. And that's where, gosh, you have wheelchair rugby, wheelchair basketball, seated volleyball, swimming, track and field. And this next year in 2025, they're going to add skiing and winter sports to the mix. But so often it's getting out there, connecting with others that gives you the encouragement to get back into living again. And when people start to be successful in sports and see improvement there, it just ripples into other aspects of their life and to their family life and their relationship with their children. And it's a very powerful thing to be a part of.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you have so many great stories from your time at the foundation. So I was curious if you have any specific personal experiences you can discuss about how the foundation has positively impacted a particular family or communities at large, or really anyone.
Well, there are a lot. On average, a family is in the Fisher House for probably 5 to 7 days, but it's not unusual to have a family there for months or even years. The longest length of stay we've had has been a spouse who was at the Fisher House for 4 years. She had a MRSA infection and lost all four limbs, and then learned how to live with prosthetics. And the last time I saw her, she stood up and helped me cut a cake with her prosthetics. But the neat thing is every family has their story. We have had situations where the veteran was in the hospital and towards the end of his life, and his daughter came in to support him. And they were able to reunite and reconnect in a way that they hadn't in years. And those are the gifts that you get to be a part of. And it's not due to any specific person. It is the power of community, is the power of giving people the opportunity. And good things happen. Earlier this year, I reconnected with Jessica Lynch. And I don't know if you would know the name. She was a POW in the Iraq War, and she was rescued by special forces that went in and got her, and she recovered at Walter Reed, and everybody was wondering, oh, where she is, how she's doing this, that, and the other. Well, she needed her privacy and time to heal. Well, her family was staying in the Fisher House at Walter Reed. And it's one of those situations where you're sworn to secrecy. And you always wonder, well, I wonder how they're doing now. Well, I ran into her and had the chance to talk. And gosh, she was 19 when she was injured. Her unit was attacked, and then she was rescued. Well, 20 years later, she continues to get physical therapy twice a week to maintain a quality of life. And you heal from the acute wounds, but there is an impact in the quality of life as you go down the road. And so many of those who, I'm going to steal a line from General Peter Pace, a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs. You know, when you talk about people who lost a leg, who lost their eyesight, they didn't lose it. They gave it. They gave their leg in service to our country. They gave their eyesight. And so many people were in that situation, but you know, they healed from the acute injury, but maybe they don't walk as well. Maybe they'll never run again. Maybe there are limitations on what they can do, but they will continue to need support.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it's so clear that the foundation is doing such great work. So how can those who want to help best do so?
Well, the best thing to do is go to our website. That's fisherhouse.org. And number one, learn about our programs. You know, when you get that call and you learn that a loved one is wounded, ill, or injured, you want two things. You want the best medical care and you want to be there. The military and VA systems are two of the best in the world. Having a place for families to stay is a little bit more of a challenge. And when you get that call, you're not necessarily thinking, you're thinking about your loved one. And so to have an awareness, or when you hear of somebody who's facing a challenge, to be able to let them know, we're here to help. At the same time, if you go to that website, fisherhouse.org, you'll learn where the houses are. And if you want to be a part of a group, come in and cook a meal. See if you can volunteer and be a blessing to somebody else. You can find all the information there. And if you want to make a donation, or if you have miles or hotel points you want to donate, that's the great and the first place to go.
Great. Well, thank you again so much for coming on today. I think it's really just incredible to hear some of these stories and experiences, and I'm sure a lot of people are interested in how they can help as well.
Well, I'm glad I've been able to tell you a few of mine, and I hope that some of those listening will get the chance to make their own stories.